Okay, we're going to start here. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. David is going to read Matthew 10:16 is our main verse. And just got a couple of scriptures here. Jake, John 16:12, and Dwayne, 1 Corinthians 3:2. Okay. If you had to walk through a minefield, which is the better path, walking around the mines or stepping on them?
Around. I was dressed around
them. I'm thinking that's a good choice there. That seems simple, but if you are going to minister for God, that simple principle, some people miss that. And what they do is they consistently manage to step on landmines and blow things up that is not necessary. The scripture that we're going to read, Jesus just gives a little bit of wisdom. When dealing with opposition, he gives a strategy. We're going to find in Matthew 10:16.
Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're going to do a lesson talking about being wise as serpents. So let's talk about the reality of opposition in the context in the scripture that we read here. Jesus says that when you are ministering for him, there will be opposition. Verse 16, I'll send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And so he is simply saying that you are trying to do a work for God, and there will be people that will try to stop you, whether that's subtle, whether that's overt, in your face, whatever. So we have lots of possibilities. We have outside opposition. When we outreach, for instance, sometimes you come up against code enforcement officers or police in trying to outreach. There are different kinds of authorities when you're trying to get permission for buildings and all kinds of things. Then religious people, you have people who, when you're trying to do a work for God, you have people who already claim to be Christians, and they will try to trap you into conversations that are not going to, they're not going to help you. They're not talking to you to help you. They're talking to you to trap you, and you have to be aware of that. And then, of course, dealing with new converts. When you're dealing with new converts that don't have a background in salvation, often there are difficult questions or difficult conversations about sometimes emotional or sometimes tricky subjects. So the simple point I said in the introduction, some men have no ability to maneuver. In other words, seeing a landmine in front of them, I ask you the simple question, which is better? Do you want to step on it or go around it? And of course, the better option is if you can, go around it. If you can't, you have to diffuse it, but going around it would be a much better option. That's true in opposition, in all kinds of opposition, and I just named a few different possibilities. There could be more besides that, but some guys they cannot maneuver. That is that the only option that they see in life is I tackle everything straight on. Some guys they view all of life as a fight. Maybe that's because they, you know, brawlers growing up, they liked a good fight, but in life, now we're moving into the kingdom of God. They're trying to do a work for God, and that's the only possibility is to get in a conflict as big and as loud as possible. And often they have spiritual sounding reasoning. Why, you know, why would you want to do that? Well, I had to make a stand for Jesus. I had to make a stand for righteousness. And so that's why I stepped on the landmine. Any conversation they have, they view this as, you know, I had to tell the truth. And some of you, if you're not married, let me give you a clue. If you ever have a lady one day ask you, does this dress make me look fat? That's a trick question. Okay. That is a trick question. That's a landmine right there. Okay, so the results of this kind of approach, just head on. That's the only way to do it. You just tackle it. You just say it. I had to tell the truth. That doesn't work well when working with people. So Jesus is talking about opposition. You do have opposition. You have authorities, religious people. You have all kinds of things that are trying to oppose you. So it's possible to make opposition worse. You have someone, maybe they're against you because this is, they view things in terms of the law. Okay, but don't make them personally hate your guts. Because that's a possibility. You could make them say, you know what, I don't like this person. And you could do that by approaching things in the wrong way. Some of the things in ministering for God, there are conflicts that will be necessary. There are things that have to be tackled, but you want to do it at the right time. You don't want to do it too soon. You have to make sure that this is the timing of God, this is wisdom of people, all kinds of things. And then, of course, you could make things worse because you could blow people away to where they don't want to listen to you at all, simply by the approach that you have taken with this. Okay, so let's talk about being wise as serpents. So, having laid that simple background, Jesus gives a wiser option when dealing with opposition. And he says, be wise as serpents. It's kind of a funny thing. In the Bible, snakes don't have a good reputation in the Bible. They're symbols of evil, the devil. There's no good option generally in the Bible. And so here he says, you need to, in opposition, there are some things about a snake that are good, and you should actually emulate this. So that's kind of a strange thing to say. So the simple statement that Jesus is making is, in life, you have to have the ability. What is it about a snake? A snake can maneuver. That's what he's saying. It can maneuver. It's not straight on, I have to. He says, maneuver. When you have opposition, a much better plan is if you can maneuver around the opposition, that is a wiser option. A snake will try to evade trouble before striking. Right? Snakes aren't just to wake up in the morning, I just want to bite somebody. Is a snake would much rather, when faced with danger, would much rather go around or go away rather than trying to strike. So Jesus says that is a very smart way to live. He says, be wise as serpents. And the word wise that he used there is a particular word in the original language. The word wisdom there, wise, is a word which means rein in or curb or hold back something like a snake. Hold back. So in other words, you have to hold back your ego sometimes. You have to hold back your mouth sometimes. You know, there are things you hold back. And he says, if you do that, that's a wise way to approach opposition. So this is something that is true in a lot of different areas of life. So let's think about this. There's wisdom in outreach. in outreach in general is that sometimes it's better to not ask for permission. You know, the old saying is sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. And so that's true in outreach. There are places, there are venues and situations where there's no option. You have to get a permit. You have to make sure that everything is legal and in a row. But there's a lot of outreach. You don't have to ask for permission. So he says, why don't you just maneuver? Why don't you just find a crowd, hit them, and move on? Maneuver. That would be in outreach. Then when facing opposition with authorities, this sometimes happens when we outreach, when you're street preaching, outreaching, doing something, is that the police show up. So there are some guys, they don't have the ability to maneuver, is all they're used to doing is fighting. So a policeman is being sent, it's his job. It isn't personal. And they wake up that morning going, yeah, I want to ruin a Christian's day. It's just simply he got a complaint. They sent him there. But there are some guys that they want to now pick a fight with a cop over this. Yeah, I understand. We're American citizens. We're going to stand the Constitution. And that is not necessary. Instead of taking it personal, why don't you maneuver around it? Why don't you say, man, I was completely unaware that we needed to get that permission. Gosh, okay, all right, I'm gonna keep that in mind next time. Which is all he's looking for. Or there have been times where guys say, yes, and this is our last song, we're about finished. No problem, we'll be done soon to make sure that the neighbors won't get upset. Now we've even had guys that they've had one guy keep the policeman talking while the other guy pulls the altar call and finish up. So that's maneuvering. Instead of having a big hairy fight, big conflict. There are times we have no problem in our history in the church. There are times where we have to get lawyers and we have to threaten the police and in the city council, and we've done that. But that's a last resort. You don't want to do that every time you're out on the street, or that's just going to be you're stepping on landmines. So much better to try to maneuver around people. And then another area has to do with facing opposition in the church. From time to time, you have people who it just becomes clear that they shouldn't be in your church. They don't agree with you. They're causing trouble. I've told the story many times. When I first started, when I first went in the ministry 32 years ago, my first converts were, I had a bunch of ladies from a biker gang called Satan's Riders, and I had some great raw sinners. They were great converts. I had one religious couple that came. And they came initially, and he had a funky doctrine. So I said, I want your word. You're not going to tell anybody this because we don't agree with that here. You're going to keep your mouth shut. And he agreed. And he was helpful for a little while because they're used to, in churches, they gave money back. You got to imagine, this is 1986. The guy was putting in like $140 a week. That was big money back then. But he didn't understand that we were supported by our mother church, so it didn't really matter. Anyway, he thought he was buying me. And so finally there came a day where he's openly in Bible study, he's contradicting what I'm saying. So I called Pastor Mitchell and explained what happened. He said, this guy needs to go. It's clear it's not going to work, that he shouldn't be in your church anymore. You need to get rid of him. And I said, okay, Wednesday, I'll meet him Wednesday and at church, and I'll tell him that they're going to leave. And he said, don't be stupid. He said, look, if you talk to him at church, this is what's going to happen. When you talk to him, I didn't have an office in the back room. I had a tiny little building anyway. He said, what he's going to do is he's going to yell and cause a big scene. His wife will cry, and everybody in church will all, you'll make him a focus. So he said, don't do that at church. He said, do you know where he works? And I said, yeah. He said, why don't you just go meet him at work, wait for him when he gets off work, and have the conversation away from everybody. So I said, okay. I was waiting for him at his car when he got off work. He walked up, and I had a simple little conversation. And I said, Alan, it's clear that we're moving in different directions. You don't believe what we believe at the Potter's House. I don't want to make you miserable, and I don't want you to hurt the new converts. I know you don't want to do that. you should find another church. Don't ever come back again. And he went, oh, okay. Never saw him again. Never caused any problems in the church. So that was the wisdom of my pastor maneuvering. I could have, in church, said, you devil. Could have had a fist fight down the center aisle. You know, I felt like punching him in the nose. But that's what Jesus said. Why don't you be wise as serpents? That's a smarter plan. So we have to learn that. Then let's talk about being harmless as doves. So Jesus now then, he says this goes hand in hand with wisdom. You try to maneuver. You try to be harmless. You know, a dove is the symbol of peace. In other words, you try not to make this a fight. So some conversations you can have with people can be difficult because of the subject. People get nervous about certain subjects. They get emotional. It can be painful or upsetting. And so if you understand that some conversations have the potential to be like that, the problem is, in other words, there are going to be conversations that are landmines. You can be asked a question and it's loaded. It's like I said to you, it's like a lady asking, does this dress make my butt look big? Don't answer that, man. That's a loaded question. This is a trick question. This will explode on you. You're not going to like this one. Some guys don't understand that. And in every conversation, sometimes they feel this is, you just got to tell the truth, brother. Is that they say everything that they're thinking. That's a simple rule. I've never say everything that's up here. They say it all, and they say it as blunt as possible. Their only approach is sledgehammer. They're going to say things. So in other words, they are unnecessarily offensive. I've had new converts that they're genuine. They come, they begin, they haven't known a lot about Jesus. They begin to think things through, and then they go, does that mean that grandma, you know, my grandma died, is grandma in hell? And so there are guys like, yeah, that's right. She's frying right now.
Oh, God.
Right? And I made a stand. I just told them. And then I don't understand why this guy don't want to listen to anything you have to say. That was a landmine. Maneuver and be harmless, Jesus says. Harmless as doves. You have, and in our world, I have people, what about my, you know, my brother, my cousin is a homosexual. Yeah, well, that's an abomination before God. God's going to fry them all. So that's just a little example of questions that could cause you problems. So the issues that are at stake here is, number one, the issue of timing. You have to understand this. Sometimes you are in conversations with people who are not ready to hear what you have to say. And this is a Bible principle. John 16, verse 12.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
Okay, this is Jesus. Isn't Jesus? He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He says there are things that need to be said, but he said you're not ready for it. You can't handle this. If I say everything I'm going to say, you're not going to be able to deal with this. So therefore, I'm not going to say it right now. That's Jesus, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 3:12.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you able.
Okay, so again, now Paul says, he's writing to the believers in the church in Corinth. And he says, there are things that I really need to teach you. There are things that need to be said, but he said, you're not ready for it. Little babies, they don't understand the glory of T-bone steaks. They're not ready for that. They don't have teeth. Their digestive systems aren't ready for it. That's what Paul says. He says, there are things they really do need to be said. He's not saying, I'm never going to say it. He's not doing this out of being a coward. That's a whole lesson itself. He says, I'm not afraid to say it. He says, you're not ready for it. That is a timing issue. And so Jesus saying, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, that's the whole point, is that a snake chooses the right time to strike, right? So I often tell this this story is when I was when I first was in the ministry. I said I had these biker chicks. One of the biker chicks got her brother saved. I'm talking these people, their background rough. These are not church-going people at all. And so she brought her brother, and he got saved. And so Michael had been an alcoholic, and that was his problem. The whole family destroyed through alcohol and drugs and all kinds of sin. And so he came along. He was doing okay. And then one day on a Sunday afternoon, he came over to my house, knocked on the door, and I could just tell he was agitated. Come in. It's like, come in. And so he's like on edge, and he says, I want to know. He said, do I have to stop drinking to be a Christian? He goes, am I going to go to hell if I keep drinking alcohol? Now, of course, the answer is, of course you have to stop drinking. This is wrecking your life, right? Of course it's going to send you to hell. You can't go on like that. But I could tell that day that Michael was, whatever was going on in his head and in his life, is that he was waiting for a reason to say, I can't do it and I'm out of here. And so instead, I chose what this scripture says, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And I said, Michael, when God wants you to stop drinking alcohol, he's well able to tell you. Why don't you just keep coming to church and see what God says? And I got him through that day. And later on, he did quit drinking alcohol. But this was a landmine issue. I could have said, yep, by God, I got to tell the truth. Absolutely. I would have blown him up and never seen him again. So you understand what I'm saying here. The point is not to lie, right? So this is not, he's not talking about deception. He's saying just use a little bit of wisdom for a better time. Or until God speaks to them. The other issue, not only is there timing, but it is how you say something. Harmless as doves is you don't have to say it brutally. So the idea here is you are thinking what is best for this person. Again, it's not, I have lots of painful conversations with people. There's no fun. It's not fun for me. It's definitely not fun for them. I have no problem telling people the truth. But Jesus says, you can say the truth too soon. You can say the truth in a brutal way that ensures that they will be blown up and never listen again. So he says, a better option, maneuver. At a later time, now we can have that conversation, straightforward, no problem. So this is a much better option for us. So in this is something that you have to have wisdom for. This is not natural. I don't even have it in my notes. If you'll be honest, and I won't ask for your hands, is that there are some of us here that we have not used this approach before. We've used the landmine approach again and again and again. So part of this is the difficulty. You often hear my joke is I'm working on the app for that. It would be nice if I had every conversation somebody asked me, if I just punched in and said, this is how I should react. But I can't. It is something you have to sense. You have to feel. So that is a part of wisdom that comes from God. That's what God says. You have to ask for wisdom. God, help me. I understand not everybody's going to make it. There are people, they don't want to be saved or they want to make choices. But God, don't let it be because I help blow them up. Help me. Give me wisdom. Let me sense When is the right time? How, give me the words to speak in a wise way that would be best for people in the long run. Okay, wise as serpents. So that'll open for some questions, something you want to ask about this. David.
In talking to you and like having conversations with you about different subjects and topics, obviously for you some experience has probably played into, you know, you being really good at this. Other than experience and you know, maybe praying for wisdom, do you have any practical tips for, you know, like a disciple who maybe isn't in the pastoral role to sort of gain that experience?
Yeah, well, number one, that approach you need in all of life. You need it in job, business, relationship, marriage, everything. You need it in every single area of life. It'll make life go much easier. So life will bring it to you. You'll have opportunities. But the other thing is that when guys say, I want to be a disciple, working with new converts is the greatest thing you can do, because new converts have an endless variety of problems, questions, you know, situations, personalities. So the more you work with people, the better off you will be, because you'll have chances to put this in perspective and actual practice. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep. Jake.
You think with family, because you're blood related and there's some type of ground root there, are you able to be more direct sometimes, or would this apply maybe even more so to family? I'm a bit.
No, it just depends on. I've got family members that it's easy to say what you feel. Other ones, you're walking on eggshells. That's a personality issue.
Okay.
So, I mean, the bottom line is ask yourself with family, how have those conversations gone in the past? That would be the better option. You got any questions?
So, what do you do when the other person doesn't allow you to maneuver? They just want to fight?
Well, again, that then comes down to a skill. Is you know there's a book that I recommend that would be very helpful in life. It's called Verbal Judo. And so there are I have people that they're upset with me. Is I would definitely rather try to get them calm or get them back to the subject, right? Is they're upset about this. Is there are people they're upset with me, and I say, hey, peace, man. I'm not attacking you. It's not personal. We don't have to yell. We can have a conversation without yelling, right? It could. And so it's there are strategies you can use. There are literally things you can say, things you can do to try to calm people down or to get them to listen to you. So now, some people are just determined to fight, and some people are determined to be jerks, and you can't help. Some people are crazy. You can't help. I mean, you can't reason with a crazy person. Things make sense to them that are insane. So, you know, that's why we have a security team, right?
So, yeah, I guess on that subject, I'm kind of in a situation right now where I've kind of done that. I took the brutal approach, I guess. But I didn't really know what I was talking about. It was my mom. She's Catholic. And she's like, she wants to have like nothing to do with me, really, for the most part. And she doesn't even want me to go to this church anymore. So at that point, I mean, like you said, you just kind of have to, I mean, try to take it on as gently as possible. I mean, do you have any
suggestions? Well, yeah, but there are, that's the power of prayer, is that there are supernatural. It's more than just logic. There are things that God has to show people. So you pray, God can speak to them. So I can tell you from long experience, there's lots of people that they said, I will never, and yet they're saved in our church today.
Okay.
So because God got a hold of them. So you have to trust God. However, is that you use wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, to someone who's a family's a Catholic, probably pointing out that priests are pedophiles is not a wise choice of words, right?
Definitely.
you there are things you could avoid and go around. That'd be a better option. Somebody else.
So you mentioned you know, you have the, so you're talking to somebody and they've had a relative die and they're, you know, what about grandma or whatever? And I know a lot of times people are most open when they've, you know, lost a loved one. But so what do you do when a question like that comes up and they're just demanding to know, you know, what, you know, what about the person I just lost? What about, you know that?
Yeah, in general, I think a wise thing to say to people is God is a God of righteousness. He's also a God of mercy, and so I'm not the judge. So I can't tell you. So why don't we just leave that with God? And we'll believe. I do believe that people, if a thief on the cross could cry out at the last moment, mm-hmm. is that God's a God of mercy. And so we don't know. Why don't we just leave that with God? That's a wise way to get around that. Because, you know, the bottom line is that I can't say with absolute certainty I'm not there in eternity, right? So the point, I certainly can't lie to people and say, they're a brighter star in heaven today, even though they live like a devil, right? Johnny?
I've had that happen, but they try to, the focus is off of them now.
Yeah.
And then I brought it back to them, like, well, you can know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I do. So I say, look, I don't know about grandma because I'm not there. But the issue really is not what happened to grandma. What about you? You do have a chance now, right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of, again, that's why you have to pray for wisdom. It's not one size fits all. I had a guy come one time that I'm trying to think how it worked here. I think his girlfriend came once before him. They came together. He came to church twice, and then he got murdered. He was a stone cold killer. My people said he's murdered 7 that we know of. And I mean, this guy was a wicked, wicked killer. So one night we're having a revival, and this couple asked if they can see me. It was this guy's parents. And they said, our son has been murdered. He's so notorious that no one will bury him. We're asking all these pastors of church, they won't bury him because they know he's a killer. And they said, will you do the funeral for him? He came to your church twice. He never answered the altar call, but he came to your church twice. So now to the parents, I said to him, I said, I'm willing to do the funeral, but I said, I will not lie. So I said, I'm not going to stand up and say he was a wonderful man. And they said no. It was actually very tragic. As the mother, they were Christians, they were born again. I think they went to the Assembly of God. This mother looked me in the eye and she said, Pastor, I know my son's in hell right now. But she says, all of his gangster friends will come to the funeral. I want you to preach to them. Wow. So I said, okay, I'm willing to do that. So I didn't stand up and say he was a wonderful man. I just stood up and preached the gospel. Gave them hope. Jesus can change you if you want to, you know. Loves you. And it was a very good scene. I probably had 200. I mean, these were stone cold killers, man. Rough people. It was quite a, for a little white boy from Prescott, Arizona, it was quite an experience. At the graveside in South Africa, you bury the body. You help fill in the grave. And then when they finished, all the gangsters pulled out their guns and they gave them a salute. They start shooting.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Wow, that's just like Prescott. That happened all the time. So, anyway, that was just an opportunity that I was able to use. Somebody else? Question you want to ask?
Thinking. I know eventually you kicked him out or, you know, asked him to leave, but what did you do that night at the Bible study when that guy was contradicting everything you said and trying to argue? How did you shut that down in front of everybody without being, you know, I know you maneuvered, but you didn't really say how you shut that down and, you know, tried to move on with that.
What did I say? Well, the specifics were my biker chick, her husband was the vice president of Satan's Riders. So she had discovered he was having an affair with the barmaid, at the Biker Bar, which is a quality place to meet people. So she asked me a question in all honesty. So she had been praying for him. They were now separated. She's got two small kids. And she said, in agony of heart, how come sometimes when you pray, it seems like nothing happens? And I knew exactly what she was talking about because I'm dealing with it. And so he was, this guy was like, went to a Word of Faith church. And so, I explained God has to work on their heart. They've been like this a long time. It takes time for them to change, for the circumstance to change. And so this guy, he interrupted. He said, well, when I have faith and when I pray, I get answers like that. Mm. And so I said, yeah, that's great. But I just kind of played it down and said, yeah, and that's true in some circumstances. But I moved it along and didn't slap him right there in front of me. The eye poke would have been
very helpful. Been very handy in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So I maneuvered around it. So this is true in... there's so much of wisdom in this. So you have crazy people in church. You got to be creative in dealing with crazy people. Eddie Barreto, when he was on staff, he was brilliant at that. On a couple of occasions, we had people who were manifesting down at the altar and starting to cause a scene, and Eddie was brilliant. This one lady, one night, she's at the altar and she started screaming. And Eddie comes down and he taps her on the shoulder and he said, someone wants to talk to you. And it threw the lady off. She's like, it was so weird for her to think. And he's pointing to his cell phone. He goes, somebody wants to talk to you. Come here. And she was like, it kind of stunned her. So she gets up, walks out. He goes, it was me that wanted to talk to you. Now get out of here. That was brilliant. Eddie, that was brilliant. That's a practical example. So we could have all just grabbed her, dragged her out screaming, but he kept it quiet, got her away from everybody's eyes, and then got rid of her. So that's exactly here. That's exactly what the scripture is talking about. Wise is certain maneuver. There are so many places you can use that in life.
Yeah. Could you address church takeovers? Okay. Sometimes you walk into minefields.
Okay. Like what aspect are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a very specific one. I took over a church in the Midwest, and it had been pretty messed up.
Right.
Things had happened. He had allowed people to come that probably shouldn't come.
Right.
So the timing issue there was huge.
Right.
And how long in that situation did you just, if you ever dealt with that, roll with that? And how did you preach?
Yeah.
How did you?
Yeah. So there are... Again, there are 1,000 different situations you could have. You could have people who are involved in ministry who shouldn't be. And so I tell the guys, you shut your mouth, just keep on, keep things going for now, and you don't have to tackle that right now. So you have to have wisdom. There are guys that they want to apply standards in the first week. That's this not wise. You have to gain. I said, these people haven't even made up their mind whether they like you yet. You don't. It's not the time to lay down the rules.
Right.
So you got to maneuver, or you get people that then it's they want to, this guy should be here. That they want to complain. So then you have to plead the ignorance card. I don't know about that. Well, I'll look into it. They want you to make decisions in the first week, and sort people out. So you have to put things off, and. Playing on ignorance is a good thing. I'll look into that later on. Then you can tackle some of those things. So part of it is you have to give time. We have the simple rule of thumb. We say don't change anything for a year. And that doesn't mean literally if the guy is you know, Caitlyn Jenner as your song leader. Probably we're going to have to tackle that a little sooner. You know, that's not literal, but in general, you have to understand that is you got to let some time go by. You have to gain credibility. If you get some people saved, that will really help you. You'll help them through some crisis, that will really help you, and then you'll be able to tackle them at the right time. So some guys come in and they want to, you know, they want a machine gun from opening service, lay down the law, and then it's like everyone's dead. There's no one coming to church. Doesn't make sense. Vince?
What if you find yourself on the other side of someone who has maybe not necessarily said things tactically, or they did, but it was like something that was one of their convictions, and it doesn't fit kind of with that. Like, there are some things that when I was first starting to be more involved, I was doing out of, so-and-so said that I was supposed to do this, but it was actually hurtful because I didn't have a foundation for those, you know, things. Like, so, I mean, you preached just recently about being ready to, you know, having the Holy Spirit, and, you know, if you don't have the equipment, you're going on your own strength, and it doesn't work.
Right. So, but what does it have to do with what I just taught?
It would be like the other side of yes, these things are good, but it's like the wrong timing. Is that? I think you already answered my question, actually.
Okay. There you go.
Never mind. Wow, you're good.
That's right.
That's impressive.
It was time.
Yeah.
I was told something too early in my
too early. That's the key right there. Timing. Timing is a wonderful thing. Somebody else.
I got a comment. You know, wisdom and maneuverability, I think, comes in handy on outreach. Sometimes you'll come against those opposing spirits. And you want to make a claim for Christ. You want to make a case for Christ and witness. But sometimes that person will interact in a way that is they're directly trying to discredit your witness, and there's other people around that you, so you want to just use wisdom, maneuver around that person, and keep plugging forward with the other people in the community or whatever. You don't want to get set up by the enemy with someone trying to play a game on your mission there, right?
So yeah, of course.
You need to just maneuver around.
So in all of these things, though, whether it's witnessing, whether it's having conversations, our biggest problem is pride, isn't it? Right? I was witnessing with a guy. This is literally this is a literal quote. The person didn't want to take their track, you know, said something rude when he tried to hand him a track. So in his ego, he couldn't handle that. So he had to, hell's hot, pal. You're going to fry. So he wasn't doing that because this is what the person needed. That was his ego, right? In conflict, when someone is, you know, you talk about someone is, they're insisting on it, is if it's about our ego, then it's like, then we've got to fight. You know, you're not going to disrespect me. You're going to listen to what I have to say. Whereas if I'm concerned for the other person, then that's the key. So pride is what causes us. People who are proud cannot maneuver. No way. It's a matter of, as a matter of fact, I've had people that they tell me proudly that, and I just told them, and I said, and it's like, and how's that worked out for you? It's worked out terrible in every relationship. It doesn't matter. Pride, so. We have to be able to humble ourselves. That's the key. Lower our pride. Okay. Very good.